You're listening to Grant Edwards, 88.1 FM, The Wireless, the world at 5.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's 2 minutes past 5. I hope you're having a great morning. Hope you're up bright and early, ready to go on Monday the 22nd of April. And on this day, it was a big day, actually, for Rattner, of all people. Of all groups, I should say. We'll have a look at rural news in just a moment too, as well as all the New Zealand news that we're going to be dishing up for you that are on offer from all of the main newspapers that we look at. We call them newspapers still, don't we, Digger?
Yeah, it's just an old habit for us old timers. We used to look at the newspapers, just go through the newspapers, scratch around there, try and find a story. And now it's all online, isn't it? Yes, all online. You know, I'm getting used to it.
Yeah, well, that's good, Digger. 3 minutes past five, and we'll go to, actually, what have we got lined up first?
I think we've got the rural news. Let's do that, because that's important for us farming people.
Yes, I suppose it is, too. Let's go to, let's do that right now, mate.
88.1 FM, The Wireless Rural News.
Right, well, we're over at the Farmers Weekly right now, and the big story is there, Southland's rates heading north, according to Federated Farmers. Story came out just a day or so ago. On top of looming rate hikes, Southland's one-bucket approach to catchment management is deeply concerning for Federated Farmers, and no more handshake deals for grocery chains. According to Gerhard Jus, he says that the Commerce Commission moves to regularise negotiations between growers and retailers as it flags the power imbalance. Also, with the Farmers Weekly, you'll find them at farmersweekly.co.nz. Proper Crisps sourcing local kumara again. Another one from Gerhard Jus. He says that the local consumers can once again munch away at crisps grown from locally grown and locally sourced kumara. And award winners, all sweet and sour, Richard Rennie reports, from gelato to fermented foods, a wide range was on the podium at the Outstanding New Zealand Food Producers Awards. Also, New Zealand emissions, they slide for third year running. Richard Rennie is fooled by the global emissions. Agriculture remains New Zealand's largest contributor for the 2022, accounting for 53% of all gross emissions. And I don't know, what do you say about that, Digger? What do you think? Do you think that's, good or not?
Bullshit!
Yeah, I agree. I have to agree with you. That's a funny voice you've got there. And a Rural Co strategy takes it back to roots. Annette Scott reports, after years of ambitious expansion, co-op narrows focus to Canterbury region. There we are. Those are the top stories at the Farmers Weekly. Find them at farmersweekly.co.nz. We'll be back in a moment. It's 5 past 5.
For those who crave more than just reading headlines in their social media feeds.
People need to wake up.
Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
All right, now what happened on this day in history? I've got it here somewhere. Where's it gone, Digger? Can't find it. Oh, here we are. There we go.
There's just Rattner.
That's right. And on this day, April 22nd, 1936, Rattner Labour Seal of Alliance. Ooh, the alliance between the Rattner Church and the Labour Party was cemented at an historic meeting between Tuhu Potiki Wurumu Rattner, or T.W. Rattner they call him, and the Prime Minister Michael Joseph Savage. In 1928, 10 years after his first religious vision, T.W. Rattner announced his intention to enter politics, referring to the four Maori seats as the four quarters of his body. He aimed to win these electorates by harnessing the voting power of his followers, who by 1934 were said to number 40,000 Maori. In 1932, Iriwara Titikatni became the first Rattner MP when he won the by-election from Southern Maori, or for Southern Maori. He was instructed to support the Labour position that Rattner favoured. Yes, he favoured them, the Labour Party. Now, why? Well, because it constituted his supporters when devising, rather, it consulted. Oh, gosh. Here we go again, mate. just give it up. Oh, just go back to bed. Rant in the favour of the Labour Party because it consulted his supporters when devising Māori policy. Then, when Labour won the landslide victory in 1935, the Rantner movement took second seat. Their second seat was the Western Māori. In 1943, Rantner Labour Alliance succeeded in capturing all four quarters of Rantner's body, when Tiaki Omana defeated Sir Aparahana Nata at Eastern Māori. Labour was to hold on to the Māori seats for the next 50 years. That's what happened. On this day in history, we will be back with the newspapers. I think it's the Otago Daily Times, isn't it, mate?
Yeah. Yes, it's the Otago Daily Times.
8 minutes past five.
88.1 FM, the wireless, New Zealand news.
No, you're a funny man. I don't know, but you're all right to live with because you're not fussy on vacuuming, which is good. You really like that. Otago Daily Times, you find them at ODT. That's not over the top. It's odt.co.nz. And thousands signed petition against Farm Act plan to change insulin funding. The insulin pump used by thousands is losing funding. And families, they fear the replacement does not work well enough and they will be forced to fork out tens of thousands of dollars for the one that does. Also, the tributes that for off-duty police officer killed in a car crash. An off-duty police officer who died after being hit by a car was remembered as a genuine soul and the greatest grandmother. Government announces lending changes. The government has announced it will reform financial services in a bid to make it easier to get a home loan and other lending and strengthen customer protections. New Zealand artist wins the prestigious Venice Biennale Award. Oh, gosh, I hope I got that right. Biennale, I think it's Italian. must be, it's in Venice. New Zealand has won one of the world's most prestigious prizes there. Body has been found in Wellington Harbour. The woman has been found dead in Wellington. Let's look at that story for a moment there, because she was in sort of sporty gear. She might have been jabbed and going for a walk along the beach, had a heart attack, dropped dead. And the tide took her in and out, or out and in. A woman has been found in Wellington Harbour. That was yesterday morning. And police are appealing for information to help identify the woman who was found in the water off Mahina Bay at about 8 o'clock on, I think that was Saturday, wasn't it, mate?
Yeah, Saturday.
Yep, and she is believed to be between 60 and 70 years old, wearing activewear, including a black hooded sweatshirt with a white writing. Police said that there would be an increased presence in the area while they carried out an investigation, including shoreline searches. So anyone's got information on her, dial 111, and the reference number is over at the ODT. .co.nz. That's that one there. And we've also got a Christchurch man. He's been jailed for merciless beatings of a teen partner. This is a terrible story. I'll read a wee bit of it. I'm not going to go too far into it. So this is what the judge said to him. He said, "You should have a big sign around your neck saying dangerous." That's what a judge told a violent abuser who beat his teenage partner so often, including whipping her with an extension cord and intentionally breaking her bones, that she has now left her with half a paralysed face. The teen became she became normalised to Jacob Waugh, that's spelt W-A-A, yep, his brutal beatings, when he called this conditioning. The doctors were surprised how responsive she was after an accident that left her with a brain bleed. Waugh, almost 30, appeared at Christchurch District Court on Tuesday for sentencing on a raft of violence charges, including wounding with intent to cause grievous bodily harm, wounding and assaulting with intent to injure, and impeding breathing. Of course, impeding breathing is in the Crimes Act. You're not allowed to put anything over someone's face or choke them, but put something over someone's face. Isn't that what they did, Digger?
Yes, that's what they did. During COVID, they made us wear masks. Isn't that against the Crimes Act? Eh? You're copying my voice, Digger. Oh, sorry. Yeah, isn't that against the Crimes Act?
I think you could be right. I think it might be. But they made us wear them, didn't they? We weren't allowed to go into businesses. We weren't allowed to go into official buildings.
Yeah. It's not very good, is it?
No. Anyway, so that's not so good. So Diaz urges extreme caution over fake diazepam. Now, that's basically just a tranquilizer, isn't it, Digger?
Yeah, I've never been on it.
No, nor have I. But I know people that have. And boy, if they drink alcohol with it, they're really in trouble. So there's a funny thing, which I could barely pronounce, I think, and it's been, apparently it's a fake diazepam tablet, so people are taking that. So they take that and drink a bit of booze and they really get high on it. But bad for you. Oh, bad. One person has been killed in the Buller Gorge crash. That was on Saturday night. One person died after the crash in the lower Buller Gorge. And, gosh, I thought I had more stories there, though. Injuries from the ram attack, like being hit by a car, I'll say. New Zealand animal behaviour researcher says ram attacks are rare, but the injuries inflicted can be similar to being in a car crash. Oh, absolutely. I mean, look at them. They just ram each other, don't they? Two rams having a go. Remember when we had a few rams, Digger?
Yes, we did. And I remember that the rams were hitting each other until they're bleeding.
They were. And we had to get rid of it. We had to shoot some of them, didn't we? And keep the good one. And they taste all right, don't they, ram?
Oh, a bit rammy.
They do. Yeah, they are a bit, I suppose. Anyway, the dog likes them now. It's got the hang of it. Oh, that dog's doing very well, isn't it?
Yes, she's doing really well. She's coming along nicely. You're getting a bit of confidence with the young calves. We'll have to start her on the sheep, I suppose.
I suppose we should. We'll just get her to know left and right. Now, what's left?
Left is away to me.
And what's right?
It's come by.
Oh, yeah, and how do you make them get out further or slow down?
I just say steady and then lie down. That's what I say anyway, so that's what I'm teaching. I'm teaching to go left or go right. I mean, we could just say go left, go right. I suppose you could just do that, but they've got to do it the right way because the dogs know the language, you know, the language. Wait a minute and come by. That's it.
Oh, it's going to sound good, mate. So you're doing the training, aren't you?
Yes, I'm doing all the training.
Oh, dear. Okay, now, a recidivist burglar has been tracked by the victim's GPS. We better have a look at that story. That's quite a good one. I like the look of that. A recidivist spree burglar, that's what they call it, was found by one of her victims using GPS, a fob, on the attached to the set of keys that she'd stolen. Lena Brown, who's 35, committed at least 11 burglaries over the course of a year. That was there to feed her drug addiction, stealing anything from bank cards to brand new electric bikes still in its packaging. And now she's going to jail after a quick-thinking victim went looking for her using the phone to zero in on her location. She had a location device, a set of keys, which was taken from the car, had this little fob with a GPS on it. Brown appeared in the Hastings District Court on 11 charges of burglary and a raft of other offences, including possessing utensils for methamphetamine, and that's the pee.
And the cannabis.
That's right, cannabis and pee. Do you think cannabis is the gateway drug?
Oh, most definitely it's the gateway drug. Yeah, once you start on that stuff, then it'll muck you up.
That's right. We use it in homeopathy, though, a bit of cannabis. Quite good. Usually for people that have been abusing cannabis, we use it for them because they're quite wacky. People don't realise just how dangerous cannabis is. Anyway, the burglaries to which she pleaded guilty spanned nearly a year from October 2022 and involved both commercial and residential properties around the Hastings and Napier area. Some of the offending occurred when she absconded with electronically monitored bail. Oh, good grief. Judge Gordon Matenga said that Brown had taken several bank cards that could be used easily to make a quick dollar. She used them soon afterwards to buy things at the supermarket and petrol stations. However, she also took large goods, including a mini dirt bike, a drone, a vintage radio, hunting gear, and a camera. And camera lens and a walkie-talkie and also clothing. She took around $3,000, roughly $3,000 electric bike from a van parked on a driveway in Napier. And Brown was linked to two of the burglaries by leaving fingerprints. Silly cow. Last October, Brown took $1,500 HP laptop from an unlocked vehicle. She also took the keys with a global positioning system. That was her undoing on the fob chain. The owner used the device to track her down to a place in Havelock North, and when he saw that she had her stolen items in the car, he confronted her, and he also called the police. But this woman, Brown, she left before the police arrived, but the victim had taken her vehicle registration number. Later, officers found the stolen car, including the fuel card, sunglasses, laptops, and all that That's the guy's laptop. And reviewing reports on Brown, who's a mother, Judge Matinga said that she was sometimes described as loving and caring and good-hearted with other people's money. But she had a different side, which was manipulative and dishonest. He said, you clearly have a significant issue dealing with your substance abuse. And he went on to say that when you're in the grip of your addiction, you do anything, it seems, to get your fix. Meninga described, this is the judge, he described Brown as a recidivist spree burglar. He said he accepted that she was remorseful, but only realistic the only realistic sentence for her was imprisonment, because he said sending her to prison for three years and two months he sent her there for, because she didn't have any money and not likely to be able to pay it. That story is brought to you by Rick Stevens. He's the Open Justice reporter over at the Otago Daily Times. It's 22 minutes past five, and flights were cancelled due to fog in Christchurch over the weekend. Seven flights in and out of Christchurch have been cancelled. That was on Saturday morning due to fog. And millionaire goes to court after partner leaves $2 million estate to son. The woman with a net worth, get you angry, eh, do you? Oh, yeah, bloody woman. The woman with a net worth in the millions felt she hadn't been provided for by her partner. He died and left his entire $2 million estate. It's only $2 million, yet she's worth millions. She, well, greedy, eh? $2 million to his son, so she went to court, and she's going to fight for her share. Gosh. Life sentence for Angela Blackmore's murder. Two people have been given a life sentence for their role in the 1995 murder of the pregnant Christchurch woman, Angela Blackmore. And a man who torched John Key's office admits to $650,000 arson. The man jailed for throwing Molotov cocktail at John Key's electorate office and setting fire to rugby club rooms is now admitted torching an historic railway building as well. One serious hurt in a crash near Ashburton. A person is seriously injured in State Highway 1. It was closed for a while there after a four-vehicle crash near Ashburton. That was on Sunday. Mike McRoberts to retire after the last News Hub bulletin. News Hub presenter Mike McRoberts is to retire from the service when it screens at 6 o'clock on the 5th of July. Te Wata Ora. Te Wata what? My eyes are glazing over. I know. Now, what is that, Te Wata Ora? Is that health? Is it? Yeah. Health New Zealand has ordered an end to double shifts and imposed new limitations on replacing sick staff in wards during the day. That's going to be to save money. Government released fast-track consents list. The government has released the list of organisations it provided information to on how to apply for fast-track consents just hours before public submissions on the bill closed. Mental Health Foundation looks to shed jobs. The Mental Health Foundation is proposing to cut 10 staff because government contracts are not keeping up with costs. And the Supreme Court appeal for a man locked half his life away. The mother of an autistic, and I know about this story, and it's really sad, the mother of the autistic and intellectually disabled man who spent half of his life locked away has been granted leave to take her son's case to the Supreme Court. Those are all the stories at the Otago Daily Times. We'll be back with One News and see what they've got on offer in just a moment. It's 20, almost 26 minutes past, I think, isn't it? What's the time? Oh, no. Oh, 20. What am I talking about? I've added an extra 5 minutes. Oh, it's only 20 past. Oh, I beg your pardon.
Scraping together all the news and information you need.
It's engaging.
At the top and bottom of the hour. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Oh, no.
88.1 FM, the wireless weather.
No, we're not doing weather yet. You just have to wait. We're not doing weather yet. We're still doing the latest news. And the latest is the baby released from hospital as mourners gather at Bondi Beach for a vigil. A 9-month-old baby's been released from hospital more than a week after being wounded in the stabbing massacre at Sydney Shopping Centre. One of the worst in years, actually. One of the worst. OJ Simpson, his bank card of America, is to be auctioned. 10% of the final price proceeds will apparently be donated to the National Network to End Domestic Violence. It's a slap in the face. It's good. Here's a good sort. A busker hits the right notes for a good cause. Jeff Domigan, he busks in Timaru for a good cause, and it was because it was the hospice, and they looked after his wife for, I think, about 3 weeks before she passed on. So he's donating all the money that he's busking there between a cafe, which he often frequents, and also, whereabouts is it? And the Timaru something. I did read it. Where is it now? It doesn't say. He's trying to get $10,000. Yeah, she spent 3 weeks in the hospice, so he's decided to give the money to them. Good on you, mate. That is a good cause. You're a good bloke. Spice Girls, they reunite with their performance at Beckham's birthday party. David Beckham shared a video on Instagram that showed Victoria alongside Jerry Halliwell, Mel B and Mel C, and Emma Bunton singing and dancing to their 1997 song Stop. But we haven't got Stop. Have we got anything? What have we got, Digger? I've got this one. That's enough of that, isn't it? Yeah, we don't. It's a bit old, isn't it? Don't you think? Yeah. We'll be back with more news in just a moment.
With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live.
Back home, Geneva AM performs Deep Underground for New Zealand Music Month. Auckland's underground construction rail link tunnels provide unique acoustics for the performance. Do we have them, do you?
Yeah, got you. Put me under pressure here. It pretty much goes on like that, you know. Just goes on like that the whole time, you know, beating drums and stuff.
Yeah, there we are. Well, she's got a beautiful voice, hasn't she? That is very good. Geneva AM is the band. That's what she calls herself. It's just one girl, I think, with the band, with the backing band, I suppose. I suppose that's what it is. We've got weather coming up. Oh, sorry, I blew on the microphone. We've got weather coming up very soon. Now, what else we got lined up, Digger?
Well, that's about it, really. I've got a few other stories. I'm looking for an ad, actually, at the moment. I'm trying to find an ad for TNT Radio. There we are.
All right. Well, we'll be back in a minute.
Scraping together all the news and information you need.
It's engaging.
At the top and bottom of the hour. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Oh.
88.1 FM. The Wireless. Weather.
Oh, that's all the news there for the moment. We'll have a look at the weather. I suppose it is 25 minutes past five. We better check it out. Gosh, I hope we've got some weather. Yes, the short forecast for north into Taranaki, including the Coromandel Peninsula. Fine spells and isolated showers today. Clearing south of Northland this afternoon for the Bay of Plenty and Taupo, mostly fine weather. Gisborne and Hawke's Bay, isolated showers north of Wairua, clearing overnight and then mainly fine. Scattered showers returning elsewhere in the evening. Whanganui and Taihape, also to Wellington and Wairarapa, mostly fine, but isolated showers inland north of Manawatu this morning. Scattered showers developing elsewhere in the south during the afternoon and evening. Down to the South Island, Marlborough, Nelson, Marlborough and Canterbury, mostly fine. Scattered showers developing in Canterbury late morning and in Marlborough in the afternoon. Possibly late shower in Nelson as well. Bullabri and Westland, also Fiordland, a few showers clearing Fiordland before dawn and elsewhere this morning. You're going to have fine weather today, apart from that. Otago and Southland, scattered showers clearing in the evening. And for the Chatham Islands, a few showers with some heavy. Looking ahead to Tuesday, gosh, what's that bumping? Tuesday, North Island, mainly fine. Isolated showers in the east, north. Eastern north, clearing, and South Island tomorrow. You've got occasional rain or showers in Fiordland, Westland, Stewart Island, mainly fine elsewhere with cloudy, though, cloudy about Buller. On Wednesday for the North Island, partly cloudy in the west with one or two showers in the south, mostly fine elsewhere. In the South Island on Wednesday, rain or showers in the west and far south, fine with high cloud elsewhere. There you go. That is news and information so far. We'll be back with some more news in a moment. Won't be long.
Binary.
Lots of women can't get pregnant either.
Yeah, but they're still of the nature to get pregnant.
The only
but
reason
they can't get pregnant.
Yes, but
truth matters, right?
It does. That's what I'm trying to explain to you.
Truth matters, and they can't get pregnant. That's the truth. So how are they still women?
Because they are. For the same reason that I can rightly say that human beings have two legs. And if a person is born with only one leg, that doesn't call into question the statement that human beings have two legs, okay? A person being born with one leg doesn't mean that now legs are on a spectrum, and we can't say anything at all about how many legs a person has. Who knows? They could be a centipede. You know, they could have 100 legs. Mm. No, we know human beings have two legs. If a human is born without two legs, something went wrong. They were supposed.
They were supposed to. Almost 28 minutes past five. We're over at rnz.co.nz. Have we got the latest news from them?
Yes, we got the 5 o'clock. We're allowed to play it.
I don't know. Should we beg for forgiveness, or should we ask for permission?
I beg for forgiveness. That's what I say too.
I agree. Okay, so I picked up the pen, How Poetry Helps Save a New Zealand Refugee's Life. Abdul Samad Haidari, that's his name. He became a refugee at age 10. His second book of poetry, Uncentered Condolences, was launched recently at Uni Books in Ponoke, Wellington. Ponoke. I should say, Ponicky.
Yeah, get it right. Your Maori's just shocking, isn't it?
Oh, I know. It used to be good. You know, I got the top mark when I was at Radio New Zealand. Top mark for Maori pronunciation. Of course, they call it Te Reo now, don't they? Except I was talking to an old Maori lady the other day, and she said, oh, I call it Maori language, she said. And I said, oh, aren't you supposed to call it Te Reo? She said, I only do that when I'm with the young ones, because they get all finicky about it. So she just calls it Maori language as well. Recovering alcoholic mum wins custody rather than gaslighting dad. Oh, the family court found that the father subjected his ex-wife to an onslaught of emotional and psychological abuse, and his brother was involved in that too. I think I remember reading a story about that over the weekend. Tough questions on declining trust in the media. Another report shows another decline in New Zealand media's trust in the news. Also, tributes for the off-duty police officer who was killed in a car crash, Constable Gail Shepherd. She was a genuine soul and the greatest grandmother. That's what her colleagues and family said. Now let's go over to the Centrist, because they've got something on this tough questions, New Zealand media. Now, first of all, the Centrist, they talk about the Oranga Tamariki.
What's that again? Child, youth and family.
Right, I think you're right. I think that's what it is. They may intervene in cases where families resist the child's gender transition to protect emotional well-being. What a load of rubbish. The guidelines are broad enough so that parental resistance to gender transitioning. So if you know, your kid thinks, well, I'm a boy, but I actually feel like I'm a girl. And the parents say, no, son, you're a boy. That is enough to say that it's emotional harm. It can be broadly defined as serious differences within the family over the child's gender identity. Very low thresholds that seemingly give officials considerable discretion to decide what may warrant intervention. And if they get involved, I'll tell you what, it's going to be a downhill slide for the kid. You don't want child, youth and family being involved, because there's a bunch of lunatics in there. Don Brash's Facebook deletion of posted political interference, that's what he calls it. Old Don Brash sent us an email, didn't he, over the weekend?
Yes.
He says, as I write, I can't believe this has happened to us. We hear of political interference happening overseas, but today Hobson's pledge has been the target. According to the former national leader, Facebook has deleted all of Hobson's pledge posts and paid advertisements related to the fast-track approvals bill. Brash says this is a clear-cut political interference and discrimination. He added that while half the posts were blocked, the Maori Party posts directed to the same government submission page were not. For a start, Facebook should not be able to block links to government websites and impede democratic engagement. They certainly shouldn't be able to pick and choose which organisations can help their supporters to access the submissions page, he wrote. Brash says that he doesn't know if the move is reflective of Facebook's official stance or the decision of official staff members, because Facebook has not offered any clarification. Hobson's pledge already experienced significant hostility in the media, and he says that we use emails and social media as a way to go around the patronising so-called Fourth Estate to reach New Zealanders. There we are, that's Don Brash. Other stories over at The Centrist, you'll find them at centrist.co.nz or thecentrist.co.nz. Eat the Rich. A study finds that the New Zealand tax system favours the bottom half. That's very interesting. Now, the top 20% of income earners paid most of the tax, while approximately half of Kiwis, this is Kiwis households, receive more in benefits than they are paid. Those are the findings of research paper based on data from the fiscal year ending March 2019 by the New Zealand Treasury, showing that Wellington collected over $40 billion in income taxes from individuals. However, the top 20% of earners contributed to more than 50% of that total amount. A significant redistribution of that money was made through tax policies and social benefits for lower income groups. The research also found that the government allocated nearly $18 billion for healthcare and $14 billion for New Zealand super and veterans pensions, which made up over half of income support payments for all households on average. University of Auckland Professor Craig Elelf, he has concerns about how long sustainability, about long-term sustainability, especially as ageing population poses challenges to the tax system. Meanwhile, Professor of Public Policy at Victoria University, Arthur Grimes, says the public might not know that a small percentage of high-income earners pay the majority of tax revenue, while most people at the poor end of are the net recipients of the government. Suggestions for tax reform could include introducing a capital gains tax to enhance sustainability and reduce income equality. That story is brought to you. You can see more of that over at the Post, that one there. But in the first instance, it is thecentrist.co.nz. Other stories. I thought we had more. Eat the Rich. Hang on, this. Waitangi Tribunal summons to minister makes Seymour deeply fearful for them. By their own standards, they brought a fight in what some, someone of much greater mana. Oh, gosh, what's that? Waitangi Tribunal. Better have a look at it. See what it's about. Crown lawyer took legal action in the High Court to challenge summons issued by the Waitangi Tribunal to Minister for Children's Karen Coolgore. The move by the tribunal was one that ACT leader David Seymour said made him deeply fearful for them. The tribunal had summoned Coolgore to provide evidence in an urgent inquiry regarding the repeal of Section 7AA of the Oranga Tamariki Act. Oh, what is that again? Child, Youth and Family. Child, Youth and Family, yeah. This section imposes obligations on Oranga Tamariki. Get stuffed. I'm not going to read them. I'm just so pissed off with the media, you know, going along with this Maori bullshit. You know, you can get stuffed. I'm not even going to read it. Not even going to read it. Chris Bishop has been accused of gaslighting. Is that the one we're looking at? Public National is dogged by transparency and accountability concerns regarding fast-track approvals. Yeah, Chris Bishop. In their zeal to fast-track the fast-track approvals bill, National has been criticised for a lack of transparency and seeming disregard for public input. Cabinet Minister Chris Bishop's suggestion that members of the public should submit their own projects for consideration under the bill was labelled as gaslighting by the Greens. The bill's lack of clarity on which projects are in line for consideration and blocking expert panels from seeking public input or individual applications have raised alarms among opposition groups. If the bill becomes law, people won't be able to comment on selected projects, and these projects could bypass current laws and might green light projects that courts rejected in the past. Radio New Zealand's attempted to obtain information through the Official Information Act about communications between ministers and industry players. That's faced obstacles, prompting a complaint to the Ombudsman. Editors note, removing the red tape is one thing, but allowing unchecked approval of projects raises concerns about potential corruption and lack of scrutiny. And you can shorten timeframes without removing scrutiny entirely. Transparency and public input can prevent costly mistakes and potential abuses by any government. that story there. And also, Operation Camperdown has New Zealand police joined global crackdown on lab-host cyber crime network. They've been at it, haven't they? As SMS message phishing scams, which target hundreds of thousands of victims and was used by more than 2,000 criminals, has been busted with the help of the New Zealand police. The police announced New Zealand's participation in a major international operation named Operation Camperdown. It involved collaboration with Europol and focused on dismantling the phishing as a service online platform. Lab host facilitated the creation of phishing websites that mimic legitimate online services, which criminals use to steal sensitive information such as banking and online account credentials. The New Zealand Police Cyber Crime Unit reported that a local phase of the operation included search warrants at three locations in Auckland. The raid led to the seizure of numerous computers, electronic devices and documents. These materials are currently being analysed as part of the ongoing investigation. Three suspect users of LabHost were arrested during these operations. That was last week. According to police, Europol coordinated actions by law enforcement agencies worldwide, beginning with the arrest of the administrators of the platform on the 15th of April last week, followed by arrests of LabHost users around the world. The coordinated effort, spearheaded by Europol, has been built on extensive intelligence gathered since 2022. The investigation remains active, with further arrests likely. That was brought to you by The Scoop, actually. But in the first instance, we are over with... I know why I went wrong. I know why. Eat the rich. Now, the Waitangi Bunal, do we have... Oh, we had that. Now you have to get that. Good stuff. Chris Bishop accused of gaslighting, Operation Camperdown. Now, that's it. That's it for the centrist.co.nz. We'll come back in a moment. It's 22 minutes away from 6. We'll be back shortly with news from Radio New Zealand, and also you did the weather, didn't we?
Yeah, the weather. You're a bit sleepy this morning.
I know. I didn't get a proper sleep last night. Yeah, we'll be back soon with whatever I said we were going to be back with.
You're home for the news.
They do a great job of breaking down the big story.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Oh, I don't know. What did I say we were going to do?
I don't know, mate. I don't know. Should we play a song?
Yeah, let's play a song. What's a good song? What about that Bluey thing? Oh, that's on Radio New Zealand, I think. The Bluey thing, where's that? I can't find it anywhere. No, we had that Bluey thing. You know, that's that popular program overseas. Apparently it's doing really well in the UK. Have you got a clip on that, mate?
I think I have. Yeah, Bluey, here you go. Here you go, this is Bluey.
Come on, get in, Bobo. We'll check a flat first.
What's Bobo?
It's the name of our car.
There's no room for me.
This is the worst day of all my life.
Bluey, you'll have to sit in the front seat.
What?
The front seat? Really? Is that allowed?
Queensland road rules say that if all the seats are taken, a child older than 4 can sit in the front seat. Yep, it's allowed. Come on, get in.
This is the best day of all my life.
Well, glad someone's having fun.
No, Frisky's not here, Chilli. Sorry.
No worries, Cookie. If she turns up, ring me straight away.
Will do. Good luck.
Frisky's not at her flat.
Where the Cookie be?
I don't know.
What's it like in the front seat, Bluey?
It's great. I've got a drawer.
Ooh, what's in it?
Ooh, it's a book about Bobo.
Ooh.
The front seat is the best thing ever.
Police!
Oh, I don't need this.
Queensland law states that a child about 4 years old can ride in the front seat if all the other seats are taken. Well, there you go. Well, I probably should have known that.
Yeah, I had to look it up.
Are you over 4 years old?
Yes.
And you're all good? Sorry for the mix-up.
Thanks, Mr. Policeman.
I wouldn't normally do it, but this is an emergency.
We're trying to find Aunt Frisky. She's run away from her marriage.
Okay, girls, the policeman doesn't need to hear this.
Aunt Frisky, you say? English Cocker Spaniel, blue car, likes to drive fast.
Yes.
Yeah, I gave her a speeding ticket about 10 minutes ago.
What? Where?
Smith Street, near the juice shop.
That's Frisky's favourite juice shop.
Frisky's getting a juice.
God, Bobo.
Thank you, Dr.
Bell. It was a little cranky.
There we are, so that... What? Yeah, that's Bluey. Okay, that's Bluey. At 19 minutes away from 6. Now we're back to onenews.co.nz, and she's our greatest ever Olympian. But just who is Lisa Carrington? Five-time Olympic gold medalist, wants to be known for more than just success on the water. That story you can find at onenews.co.nz. Also, there's another great video. Dad helps daughter with cerebral palsy compete in Christchurch. Jason Cupper once tipped the scales at close to 200 kilograms, and he used running to help make the change for him and get down to a proper weight. Super Rugby playoff pictured clears, but the system raises questions. The top 8 of 12 teams contest the Super Rugby quarterfinals, and after 9 rounds this season, the price of administration. Now, that price of admission, I should say, to the playoffs, I think they've got the top eight of 12 teams, or 66% of the teams, contest the Super Rugby quarterfinals. And after 9 rounds this season, the price of admission, that's what it is, to the top 8 is only 3 wins or 13 points. So there you are, if you're interested in the old footy, Super Rugby. A brother, sister, dead, 15 injured after car... Oh, must be, can't be 15 people. After car crashes at a US birthday party. The vehicle, driven by a suspected drunken driver, crashed into the children's birthday party at a boat club. Nasty over in the United States. A major U-turn as site of Christchurch Catholic Cathedral rebuilt. Bishop Michael Geelan, he said that the decision followed 85% of parishioners supporting the plan. Supercars leader Brown, he wins the best race of his life at Taupo. The Red Bull cars spoiled the party. There was two. I think they got first and second. I'll just quickly whip into that story and tell you who the winners were. That was at Taupo. Used to be, where was it? It used to be now. Supercars, can't remember. They closed it down, didn't they? Now it's at Taupo anyway. Feeney, yes. Now I'll give you the final result. This is the result. Will Brown and the Red Baron Ample, Red Bull Ample, right, beg your pardon, and Brock Feeney, he came in second with the same team, Red Bull Ample, and Anton De Pasquale, he was in the Shell V-Power. There we go. And after the closure of the Pukekohe, that's the one, the racetrack in 2022, the Touring Car Series stayed solely in Australia last year. But Taupo, about 3 hours south of Auckland, hosted the 64,411 fans, and a great result for the organisers. So that would have been fun to go down and watch that. A few of my friends would have been down there, and I should have been down there, but I'm busy. I've got dogs, and we've got all sorts now. We've got dogs, sheep, and cats, and ducks. Ducks and chickens. They keep you on the farm. They keep you busy. Other stories. What have we got here? Supercars. We've got that. Tributes paid to off-duty police officer. Oh, yeah, that's nasty. Killed in Northland car crash. Hull Horder Constable Gail Shepherd was walking her dogs on Saturday afternoon when she was struck by a vehicle in the area. Gosh, I wonder what happened there. Just lost sound for a minute, but it's just my headphones. You didn't hear anything. And now, who helps with the emotional toll of being an MP? Radio New Zealand's The House, that must be a podcast, speaks to several experienced MP to gauge what mental health support, pastoral care and mentoring is available to them. Why paying for faster internet probably won't fix your Wi-Fi woes? Yeah, I agree with that. You pay all this money for a speedy Wi-Fi, you know, you get, what's that one, fibre, and it doesn't seem to be any faster, sometimes slower. Research suggests Kiwis are investing in the promise of faster home internet, only to discover the thief of fast speeds are... what is it? What they are? Have a look. What is the thief? Testing carried out for the Commerce Commission has found speeds on fast plans could drop by more than 60% between the wall and people's phones and computers. Oh, so it's your walls. Released recently, the testing analysis internet speeds to people's devices. In addition, the traditional measure of testing speeds to a household wireless router or modem. Responding to the results, Telecommunications Commissioner Tristan Gilbertson said paying a premium price isn't always necessary to get the best speed. So what does he say you've got to do? While the top-tier plans deliver faster overall speeds to devices, It can support more bandwidth-hungry users in the same household. Wi-Fi performance can be responsible for much of the speed consumers are paying for. You need to make sure you've got a really good router, I reckon. For example, people paying for Fibre Max plans were provided with speeds on average of 878 megabytes per second, but devices only typically saw 318 megabytes. Ah, that's the trouble. Commerce Commission Teleco Marketing Performance Manager Ben Oakley told One News that consumers could consider downgrading if they had bought too fast a speed. So you're paying all this money, but it's really just your router that's the problem, or your aerial on your router, perhaps. Yes, there we are. There's hope for us, isn't there? Yeah. Well, we just use data, don't we? And we find it all right, don't we? We're on data now. Just got a second phone, and we just run everything through that. Neil Finn, yeah, he's back in the news. He had to audition for Fleetwood Mac. The Kiwi singer-songwriter replaced guitarist Lindsay Buckingham in 2018 after he was fired from the iconic band. And part of State Highway 2 heading towards the Coromandel was closed on Sunday. Police said several people had been injured in the two-vehicle crash. Government announces lending changes. Financial Services, Commerce Commission Affairs Minister Andrew Bailey and Housing Minister Chris Bishop made the announcement on Sunday morning. And a woman, 21, facing charges over a man found unconscious. Alleged the incident took place in Tory Street in Wellington. Must have bashed him up. Got the candlelight vigil over at Bondi there. Taylor Swift album, first to have 300 million Spotify streams in a day. The 34-year-old also became the most streamed artist in a single day on the platform with her record released on April the 19th. We've got Taylor Swift, haven't we, Digger?
Yes, I got her somewhere there. Brand new one from her. All right.
Can we hear this in entirety?
Yeah, all right then.
You brush past me in the hallway and you don't think I can see it, do you? I've been watching you for ages and I spent my time trying not to feel it. But what would you do if I went to touch you now? What would you do if they never found us out? What would you do if we never made up? Kept everything professional, but something's changed. It's something I like. They keep watchful eyes on us, so it's best that we move fast and keep quiet. You won't believe half the things I see inside my head. Wait till you see half the things that haven't happened yet. What would you do if I went to touch you now? What would you do if they never found us out? What would you do if we never made up?
Thank you.
There we are. That's one of the latest songs from Taylor Swift. It's 7 minutes away from six, and we'll have weather coming up next, and that'll be a lot because there's not a lot of news this morning, Monday morning, 22nd of April. We've got Jordan Peterson coming up second, but just in, police are appealing for information after a woman's body was found in Wellington Harbour yesterday morning. The woman, believed to be in her 60s or possibly 70s, between 60 and 70. She was located in the water off Mahina Bay around 8 o'clock on Sunday. Police spokesman said that she was wearing active wear, including a black hooded sweatshirt with white writing. Residents of the Harbourside suburb have noticed an increase in police presence while police conduct inquiries in the area, including shoreline searches. Anyone with information that could assist, they should phone 111 immediately. That is one of the stories over here at RNZ. Actually, I think I might have read that anyway. Hey, Morgan Wallen, he was recently arrested. He's a country singer. Morgan Wallen says he's not proud of his behaviour. Wallen, who faces charges stemming in part from accusations that he threw a chair off the rooftop of a six-story bar. Oh, you're in that case. Gone crazy. The fame has gotten to him, old Morgan Wallen, by the sounds of it. This is what he sounds like. Morgan Wallen, there he is in trouble, throwing chairs off the top of a bar. Gosh, what an idiot. Anyway, that's what happens, isn't it? 2 minutes away from six, we'll have weather at six. And after six, we'll be hearing from COVID Intel. We've got a 16-minute clip there. CHD unvaxxed husband, Clarence, or Clay, Visler, killed by hospital protocols in March this year. So we're going to hear about that. Coming up next, we've got weather, and then that's our lot. Till tomorrow morning, Lord willing.
You're home for the news.
They do a great job of breaking down the big story.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT. 88.1 FM, The Wireless Weather.
Right, well, let's look at the situation first and foremost. We've got a situation, haven't we? A situation happening. New Zealand coastal situation. A front continues to move across the South Island, then weakens over the North Island today. A ridge of high pressure builds over most of New Zealand on Tuesday, so it's going to be great, and then moves north on Wednesday as northwesterly strengthen over the South Island ahead of an approaching front. The front moves north across the South Island on Thursday, while a trough affects the North Island. The Bay of Islands recreational forecast, southwesterlies today, 15 knots, rising to 20 knots for a time this morning. Seas becoming moderate for a time this morning, mainly fine weather, fair visibility and a few showers. You've got a few late morning and afternoon showers as well, with an easterly swell of half a metre. Tomorrow in the Bay of Islands, southwesters 15 knots, becoming northerly, northeast 10 knots in the afternoon, easing to variable knots. Variable 5 knots in the afternoon. Fine spells with easterly swell of half a metre. And for some reason, I'm not able to give you anything else. I can't give you... what's happened here? He's here. Oh, no, that's hopeless, isn't it? Have we got... No, can't even give you this. So we've only got Bay of Islands today. Are you hopeless? I don't know. I'll have to... I've got something going wrong there. All right, well, that's our lot. We'll see you later, and we'll go straight to that wonderful little... it's not wonderful, but it's a video, 16 minutes, well worth having a look at. All right, that's good. Get to
go. I think it is extremely smug and complacent to think civilization has peaked. It's all upwards from here.
Yeah, well, good luck with that, I suppose.
It's a living. There are lots of people who agree with me. There are lots of people clearly who agree with you.
There are just a lot of people, I would say, who are coming to listen to what I say because they're sick and tired of having their desire to move forward in the world and to achieve something and to take their place as adult males, let's say, who are under the weight of accusations that their ambition and forthrightness is a manifestation of something that's fundamentally tyrannical. They're not happy with that. It's not doing anyone any good, and it's also not true. It's really a terrible thing to do to young men, and it's happening all the time. That's why they're bailing out of universities like mad. There won't be a man left in the social sciences in 10 years in the universities, and it's no bloody wonder. It's an unhospitable place, and it's unhospitable precisely because of this doctrine.
Now, hey, I've actually found the Hawke's Bay and Wellington marine forecast. Here we go. A strong wind warning advisory is in force. I don't know what's wrong with me this morning. My tongue won't work. Nothing's working. Never mind. We hit the Bay of Islands. Now we're down to Hawke's Bay. Hawke's Bay, the strong wind warning. Southerlies 15 knots, easing to variable 5 knots for a time this morning and early afternoon. Southerlies rising to 20 knots late afternoon and then 25 knots, gusting 35 knots this evening. Seas becoming rough this evening, mainly fine, then poor visibility in a period of scattered afternoon showers. And a southeasterly swell of half a metre, but 1.5 metres to 2 metres east of Cape Kidnappers in Wairoa. On Tuesday, southerlies 25 knots, gusting 35 knots, easing to 10 knots in the morning, turning northeast 10 knots in the afternoon, becoming northwest 10 knots later, and you've got mainly fine weather, isolated showers clearing, a southerly swell of 1.5 metres rather, rising to 2 metres, but 2.5 metres to 3 metres in the east. Looking at Wellington today, you've got a strong wind warning advisory in force. You've got a variable 5 knots, southerlies 15 knots developing this morning, then rising to 25 knots, gusting 35 knots, but 30 knots gusting 40 knots about the south coast for a time this afternoon and evening. Seas becoming rough for a time this afternoon and evening, partly cloudy, poor visibility in afternoon and early evening showers. For the south coast and Palliser Bay, a southerly swell of 1 metre, rising to 2 metres. For Castle Point, southerly swell of 1 metre, rising to 2 metres, and an easterly swell of half a metre dying out. On Tuesday, tomorrow in Wellington, southerlies 15 knots, changing to northerly 15 knots in the morning, rising to 20 knots evening, fine spells. For South Coast and Palliser Bay, a southerly swell of 2.5 metres to 2.5 to 3 metres, easing to 2 metres. For Castle Point, a southerly swell of 3 metres, easing to 2 metres. That's up there, isn't it? 3 metres, you know you're in it. 2 minutes past, and we'll go in a moment. We'll go straight over to that video that I promised you about clay. We'll be right back with that, and we'll see you tomorrow morning.
I think it is extremely smug and complacent to think civilization is peaked. It's all upwards from here.
Yeah, well, good luck with that.
Yeah, we had you.
There is no scenario in the heads of the Palestinian Authority or of Hamas in which one Jew is allowed to live in the Palestinian state. So if from the river to the sea a Palestinian state is created, it will mean either the eradication of all Jews in Israel or the displacement of all Jews in Israel, which means carting out every Jew from their historic homeland and either killing them or sending them somewhere else. And that would be done in the name of being anti-Nazi.
Can you tell us your name, please?
Christine Visser.
And you are?
Danelle Van Laar.
Sisters?
Yes.
And this is about your husband?
Yes.
I'm just going to show everybody a picture of your husband right now so that they can see him.
Oh, we're not going to do that. The video's, the sound is ridiculously low, so we'll give that a miss. Okay, so we will see you tomorrow morning and hope you enjoy the program. Almost 5 minutes past six. Yep, see you tomorrow morning. Bye.
A better business tip from TNT Radio. News Talk Radio listeners are some of the most active and involved listeners of any format. TNT Radio listeners rely on TNT Radio often as their primary source of information. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
Could Adam's sin have only brought death to humans? Could animals be dying before the fall?
So some people have tried to argue this, again, to try and marry the Bible with millions of years. But when you look at the fossil record of animals, you find cancer in the bones. You find plenty of evidence of incredible suffering. So God said when he finished creating everything, it was all very good. Animals dying and suffering and having cancer and things is not very good. So no, I don't believe that there was any animal death like that before sin. In fact, the New Testament talks about the whole creation is in corruption, in decay because of sin. Romans chapter 8, verses 21, 22 talk about this and other places as well. So the clear biblical thing is that there was a very good creation and there was no death and suffering of animals and people before sin.
Now, another hour of the best of the 70s, 80s, 90s, and noughties. This is The Wireless. I love the colorful clothes.